Allah, help me understanding of Islam. Allah, help me understanding of Islam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome once again my dear viewers of Madani channel to another episode of Articles of Faith. And inshallah, in today's topic, we will be discussing regarding the beliefs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the amazing attributes of Allah jalla wa ala. First of all, let's listen to a blessing of Durood-e Paak. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith is in Sunan Tirmidhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that the one who will be the closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who had recited the most Durood-e Paak upon me in this world. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever we discuss aqaid, the Islamic belief, it's very important to understand that this is an obligation upon every Muslim to learn. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, hadith in Ibn Majah, that طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. The learning knowledge is fard upon every Muslim. And the first and foremost fard upon us to learn is regarding the Islamic beliefs, the Islamic aqidah. And in aqidah there are three aspects or three topics you can say that it is normally split into. Number one, ilahiyat, which are the aqaid, the beliefs regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His attributes. Secondly, the topic of nubuwat, which covers and goes into detail regarding the beliefs about our prophets and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself more specifically. And the third and final topic, which is normally the topic of aqidah, which is normally covered, is sam'iyat, which are the things related to the unseen things. For example, heaven and hell, regarding jinnat and the angels, regarding the day of judgment, signs of the day of judgment. So this is talked about or discussed in detail in the topic of the sam'iyat. Inshallah, we're going to cover aspects of beliefs regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the fundamental aspects of the belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the oneness of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being alone, there being no other God or no other partners, no other beings in partnership with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is wahid, Allah is one. And the base or the roots of this aqidah or the aqidah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the proof of this comes from the Holy Quran. And that is in a very famous surah that day in, day out we recite in our salah, and it's recited quite often and it's on the tongue of nearly every child, and that is Surah Al-Ikhlas. Let's now listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Ikhlas.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.
Surah Al-Ikhlas, whose tilawat you just listened to, the recitation you just heard, let's listen to the translation of the surah. قل هو الله أحد. Say you, O beloved, He is Allah, He is one. Allahu Samad, Allah is independent. Lam yalid wa lam yulad, He has no offspring, nor is He born from anyone. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad, and there is no one equal to Him. Subhanallah. Allah is one, and He is independent. There is no children, nor is he the parent of anyone. And no one is equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, how beautiful this surah explains the belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how it shows the oneness of Allah. Some important aspects of the belief, let's cover. Allah Almighty is one, He has no partners either in His beings, in His attributes, His sifat, in His actions which are known as af'al in Arabic, or His commandments, or in His names. The existence of Allah Almighty is necessary, and His non-existence is impossible, muhal. And Almighty Allah is qadeem, meaning that He always existed, and He is also azali, which means that He will forever remain in existence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was forever in existence and will forever remain in existence as well. Allah Almighty is free from any need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent. And rather, the entire creation, me and you, we are all dependent of Allah Almighty. Neither Allah is the father or the son of anyone, and nor does He have any spouse. And anyone that claims that Allah is a father or son to anyone, ma'ad Allah, then this person is a unbeliever. This person will then leave the folds of Islam if he believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma'ad Allah, has parents or has children or has a spouse. That person will then become a disbeliever. And Allah Almighty is alive. Allah Almighty is alive. In Arabic, the term used is hay. Allah Almighty is hay, meaning He is self-existing. He does not need anything to keep Him alive. For us, we are dependent on our breath. We are dependent upon the heartbeat for us to be alive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all of this. He does not need anything for Him to be alive. He is alive and He is in existence. He gives life to whomever He wills, and He gives death to whomever He wills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Qadir. He has divine power, and His power encompasses all mumkinat, all possibilities. Nothing is possible which is out of His power. And regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being alive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being most powerful, we can see all around us that the whole world, the universe, the stars, the moon, the sun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them all. How beautiful is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How beautiful is the nature? The trees we see, they change throughout the seasons. We see that the clouds are on one layer. We see that the birds fly and flap their wings. We see the bees that buzz around and make honey through their mouths. We see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has grown many flowers, many animals. Beautiful and splendid is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this creation did not just all of a sudden come poof and in existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one who created it. The creation is dependent upon the creator. Without a creator, there is no creation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alive, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. And the proof of this is our existence. What we see around us, what we see in the skies, what we see on the earth, and what we see in the water, what we see under the earth, this is all a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. Allah Almighty is all splendid, and is free from any kind of defect. Allah is free from any evilness or any defect. In other words, it is muhal, it is impossible for there to be any deficiency or any defect in the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is free from lies, and even the possibility of lying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from that as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from dishonesty, from ignorance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alim, He is the most knowledgeable. He is alimul ghaib, He is the knower of the unseen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from tyranny. He is not a evil being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from any oppression. These evil things are impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to say ma'adallah that he has the power over lying, or to say that he has the power over any of these evil things, or a possibility of this, then that is disbelief. To reject the reality of Allah Almighty, or to think that Allah Almighty Qudra, his power has weakness because he is not powerful over these impossibilities, is absolutely baseless. In short, the evilness or the weakness is the weakness of that evil, that cannot be part of the Qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that cannot be included in the Qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of the beliefs regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we have just covered. Some misconceptions have arisen regarding the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to eradicate this, inshallah, we're going to cover a little bit regarding some of the misconceptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from any direction. He is not in any direction. He is not limited to any space. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in the skies. He is not above the throne. There is no belief. This is incorrect belief and not the belief of the Ahli Sunnah, of the majority of the Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from being in motion, being in a form of a shape. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from being in any type of shape or having any bodily limbs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all of this. Everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is created. And in Arabic, the term used is hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is hay, he is living. And everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hadith, is created. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many of you as a Madrasa, alhamdulillah, we've just learnt about the beliefs regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what beliefs we should have, the correct beliefs we should have in regards to our Creator, our Sustainer, our Rabb, Allah Azza wa Jal. Now I want to discuss one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we start, I want to share with you a story. And this story is regarding a saint of Allah by the name of Zunnun Misri, rahmatullah alayhi. He was once walking alongside a river bank, and he saw that a large scorpion was hurtling towards the edge of the river bank. And on the edge of the river bank, there was a frog. The scorpion went and jumped onto the back of the frog. And the frog then started swimming to the other side of the river. So Sayyidina Zunnun Misri saw this and he thought it's a bit of a strange thing. So he went and started following that frog. And when the frog reached to the other side of the bank of the river, he made the scorpion get off from his back, and the scorpion went onto the edge of the bank of the river and started walking in a certain direction. Seeing this, Sayyidina Zunnun Misri followed that scorpion and started to think, where is the scorpion going? It's such a strange spectacle that a scorpion has come, it jumped onto the back of a frog, the frog swam to the other side of the river, and it's then made to take the scorpion off, and the scorpion is now going in a certain direction. So he started following that scorpion. And they got to a point where they saw a person who was laying down unconscious. And that person was unconscious due to excessive drinking of alcohol. So he was really so drunk that he fell unconscious and he was laying there. And all of a sudden from behind the bush, a snake came and started to wrap itself around the body of that young lad that was there unconscious. As soon as the snake was about to bite and pounce on that young boy, the scorpion came and bit the snake. And due to the poisonous venom, the snake then died at that point. And then the scorpion went back to the riverbank and he got onto the back of the frog that was waiting there for him. And the frog then swam to the other side of the lake and the scorpion got off and went on his way. Seeing all of this, he started to wake that young boy up and showed him, look, this is the snake. And this is what happened to you. A scorpion came and the frog made the scorpion come onto his back, and the frog took him to the other side of the river, and he came and the snake came to you and he was about to bite you, and then the scorpion came and killed the snake. So he told all of this story to that young lad. All of a sudden he just started to fill up with so much awe and so much enthusiasm. And he said, he proclaimed that, "I was unconscious, I was so drunk, but look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved me from this snake and saved me from being killed by the snake." And then he further on says that this was the state of the person who was disobedient to Allah, who went against the commandment of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed mercy upon me and saved me from this snake. Then what will be the mercy of Allah upon those people who are obedient of Allah, those who fulfill the commandments of Allah? And saying this, he said that, "I promise that I am never going to go astray and always follow the commandments of Allah." And he then promised that, "I'm going to stay in this area, in this jungle, and worship Allah till my death." Subhanallah. This story, what value can we get from this story? What information or what points can we understand from this story? Biggest and main point from here is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mercy that we as humans, inshallah, can attain as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran,
"قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ."
Translation: "Say you, O beloved, O those bondsmen of mine who have committed excess upon their own souls by committing sins, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgive all sins for the one who abstains from disbelief and repents thereafter. Indeed, only He is the most forgiving, the most merciful." Subhanallah. Allah is telling us that do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah is most merciful. He is Rahman. He is Rahim. Every single day we recite these words, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allah's name to commence with. Allah is the most merciful, the most gracious. No one can ever surpass or be equal to Allah's mercy and His grace. We also need to try to attain the mercy of Allah by doing and striving for pious deeds and trying to earn His pleasure and His mercy. Sins we all commit. And the Prophet ﷺ says, "Kullu bani Adama khatta'un wa khayrul khatta'ina at-tawwabun." Every son of Adam sins, and the best of sinners are those who repent. So we should all repent in the court of Allah. And if we repent, then inshallah we will find that Allah is merciful and forgiving of sins. No matter how many sins we have committed, no matter what we have done, the biggest of biggest sins you can think, if you've done that, you can still be forgiven. The only thing that Allah does not forgive is disbelief. Everything else other than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive. We need to ask in the court of Allah and plea in the court of Allah that, "Ya Allah, forgive my sins. Ya Allah, have mercy upon me and make me a pious individual." We need to have that sincerity in our du'as. And inshallah, if we show our part of asking forgiveness, begging in the court of Allah, lamenting in the court of Allah for our forgiveness, surely we will find Allah to be most forgiving and the most merciful. A hadith in Sunan Tirmidhi mentions that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "The one who weeps out of fear of Allah will not enter hellfire." Subhanallah. Another hadith which is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, muttafaqun alayh, the Prophet ﷺ says, "A person who remembered Allah while they were alone and their eyes overflowed with tears out of his fear will be shaded by Allah on the day when there is no shade except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throne." Subhanallah. Another hadith of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, which is mentioned in Sunan Tirmidhi, that two eyes will never be touched by hellfire. An eye that which weeps out of the fear of Allah and an eye which is spent at night guarding the cause of Allah, subhanallah. And I'd like to mention another hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And this is also mentioned in Sunnah Tirmidhi. And this is hadith Qudsi, meaning the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, even if your sins were to reach the clouds in the sky, I would forgive you. It's narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, if through fear of Allah, tears, even to the extent of a fly's head from the eye of a believer, and drops on some part of his cheek, he will be kept away from hellfire by Allah. Subhanallah. So even a small tear that comes out from the eye, out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that will inshallah be a means of us being safeguarded from the fire of hell. So cry in the court of Allah. Cry and ask for your forgiveness. And talking about flies, a beautiful story comes into mind of a very famous saint of Allah, someone whose books are studied even today, whose name, if I say, many of the viewers of Madinah Sham will definitely have heard of their name. A person who has authored over 1,000 books. A person who, a scholar of Islam, who till today we remember his name. A person who is known as a Imam in Tasawwuf. My murad is Imam Abu Hamid Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi. Once after his demise, someone saw him in a dream and they asked him, "Ma fa'alallahu bika?" How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treat you? What happened to you after death? And he replied that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave my sins. Subhanallah. And he was asked that what was the reason for this? And he says that once I was writing a book and a fly came and sat on the nib of my pen and started to drink its ink. It was thirsty, started to drink its ink. And out of having love for or mercy for that fly, I stopped my writing and I let that fly drink its ink. A fly drinking ink, and he did that for probably just a few seconds. He says that I let the fly drink the ink because I was showing mercy upon the fly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed mercy upon me and forgave my sins. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave a person who's known as Imam of his time, Hujjatul Islam, the proof of Islam. His actions were regarded as a proof of Islam, who was an Imam in Tasawwuf, a saint of Allah. And what was the reason for his forgiveness? Showing mercy upon the fly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shown mercy upon him. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim have mercy upon us and forgive our sins as well. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Until next time, my dear viewers, continue watching Madani channel and continue to anticipate for the next episode of Articles of Faith. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ.
Allah, help me understanding of Islam. Allah, help me understanding of Islam.